as we just left the meeting and started over to see a woman friend of ours, Mrs. Doble, and over in Edmonton, Alberta. And we're just 20 miles from the Canadian line when we got the news that my brother was dying. So we turned right around through a snowstorm and started right back home, making us 11 days in travel. And we got in late last evening and up late last night and early again this morning, so very tired. But as soon as I got to my mother, actually, we got a place where we could call in again, she said, "Brother Neville has been out there." That's a real pastor, folks. That's something we should appreciate that. Now, maybe your loved ones have never come to that spot. Maybe, but in an hour of crisis, when you know that something has taken place and know that a friend will stick by and run out to my brother. And then when I went, as soon as I got in, just changed clothes and tucked out there, who did I find in the room in prayer? My Brother Neville. Out in the room there with Howard in prayer. I'm grateful for that. And I'd rather say it right here at the platform. As Brother always said, I'd rather give you a little rosebud now than a whole wreath after you're gone. Right now is the time to do it. And I appreciate Brother Neville. I know we all do around this church for being a gallant pastor. Just to show him how much you appreciate him, raise your hands like this to God. Thank you. That's really something. I went home and I told my wife, I said, "Honey, when I went and knocked at the door, slipped down the hall, read the chart, see really what was wrong, and went down there and I heard something in there and captured the door, thought it was someone talking. He hadn't sat up in the bed but his Bible, and he pulled up with her head down, praying to God when I went in. Couldn't do nothing but join with him in prayer. And also my prayer, tell God that I appreciate a real friend and a real pastor. And may Brother Neville long live in this world to serve the Lord. And I believe God's keeping here for many, many years to serve him, someone that gallant. It struck my heart deeper than anything I've had in a long time. Now, usually out of the Sunday school classes and dismissed yet back in the children. So perhaps maybe we'll pray for the sick. I didn't make any announcement of coming in praying for the sick, but if there's any here to be prayed for, then we'll just have prayer for them. Now, if Sister Gertie, if she will come up, play a great position for us, and we'll ask our dear Heavenly Father if he will bless those who are needy of him today. And then we want you, all that's sick and needy, just gather up around the altar. I'm not mistaken, is this Nellie Sanders coming here? God bless you, Nellie. 25 years ago, God bless you, Nellie. I looked over a while ago and looked at you, and I didn't want you to think, looking, gazing at someone. I kept looking back, and I thought it looked like Nellie. None of you here probably remember. I guess somebody, how many remembers Nellie Sanders? Why, certainly. And she was one of the first comers to the tabernacle. She and my departed wife were bosom friends and sisters in Christ, and she married over here one of the Volunteers of America, an officer in this move, and he, our brother, has gone on to be with God, leaving her, I think, with two boys, I think, some children anyhow, and some of them still in school, and Nellie's wandering by herself, and just coming into the age of real nervous and upset. She called me when I was in Phoenix, Arizona, in a meeting for prayer. Many things go back, Nellie, to a time when sawdust on the floor, and you and Hope, that ad hoc girl, and a lot of you used to be around here many years ago, 25 years ago. She's passing by me. We're going down the road swiftly, that's true.
Amen.
Well, God be with you now. Those who are sick want to come up around the altar for prayer. A pastor and I joined together in a word of prayer for you. Come right ahead. Now, look, immediately after this, a sharp message just to you of the preaching service, which you could say we'll dismiss the Sunday school service after the prayer for the sick. And we're go right into the other service, and I got a couple announcements to make. This great physician now is near. The sympathizing Jesus, he speaks the drooping hearts to cheer, no other name but Jesus.
Amen.
How we just enter in now to a fellowship of this prayer.
Yeah.
healing for each other, knowing that God is here to promise the answer. Yes, that's all right. We'll go down and pray for her. The lady's sitting down. Certainly. All right, Brother Neville, would you come help? If you'll be just reverent as possible, the little fellows are taking their seats, and let's pray now so that when we go down to anoint the sick and the afflicted, we're going to have faith in God to believe.
Okay.
Have faith that God will. All you out there in the audience as well this morning don't need to come around the altar. Just think now that it was God's grace that brought you here. Now you pray for these others that are at the altar here, young and old. As they're custom here at the tabernacle, we send the pastor anointing, we pray for them, and then send the pastor anointing. I come along with him laying hands on the sick while he anoints them. The scripture, anoint the sick in oil in the name of the Lord. Lay hands on them and they shall recover. The scripture. Now all of you together, as you bow your heads now while we offer prayer together for the sick. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly come into thy divine presence just now in the way for the needy, the sick. Those who cannot help themselves, and many of them, Father, are past doctor's aid. Nothing can be done except by grace be extended to them. I pray humbly today, God, with all my heart, joining with this little church, that the great Holy Spirit that's present now to verify the word of the Lord Jesus that said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in their midst. If they'll ask anything as pertaining to any certain thing, shall receive it. That's your eternal word, Lord, that was spoken even before the foundation of the world. Been given to us by the prophet, by the Son of God himself. Now our deep desire now, Father, is for you to heal the sick, the needy, that share around the altar. I pray that you just give each one a special blessing of faith just now, that as we go, your servant and myself, to anoint and lay hands upon the people, may the Holy Spirit just deep down the faith in the heart and may each one be healed. We ask in Christ's name for his sake. Now with your head bowed, everybody in prayer, Pastor and I go to pray. This morning and go from prisons of unbelief and be free as we walk. We know the angel of the Lord will go before us confirming the word of God and free every one of us from the prisons of fear and sickness and distress and disease and affliction, for God has promised you. Everyone that's shut up in them kind of a conditions this morning, may the light of God shine in upon them just this very day, and may they go from here a well person. Thank you for the message and for your word. By the leadership of the Holy Spirit, grant these blessings, Father, and now be with us in the preaching service of this morning for the little short message coming up. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Now, for just a couple of moments, those who have to go now, let's just stand while we sing a hymn. And take the name of Jesus with you. Those who have to go can be dismissed. Those who can stay for another 30 minutes, we'll be glad for you to stay. All right.
Take the name of Jesus. Thank you.
be seated, and the Lord bless you all real richly. Good. I just noticed we got some of the Herald of Faith here, a little program, little paper of Brother Joseph Bose in Chicago. A very fine brother. We have such great fellowship one with another. We have a good time every time we go to Chicago. Just waiting a few nights to go again. And they're free. Just come get you one. Extra service is over. It's laying down here. Now, we're happy to see many of you still holding out to Christ. And now, just for a few moments of your time, I would like to speak just something because of being here with you. I'm tired. My voice is low. And I've had some big meetings. And Indianapolis was a great heavy meeting. And that night we were so happy to see hundreds walk down through that tabernacle, around 10,000 people seated, come down to give their hearts to Christ on that night. And Russell Ford and them, how they were thrilled. And the work that Brother Tatel started years ago, still going on. You know, I'd like to have a place like an into that sometime. It's one of the greatest places I've ever seen. Or just how it was fixed. And there's just something about it. I guess I'm temperamental. When I see a great work that someone has started, I have a feeling for that. Now, being hoarse, and we've been up in the mountain trying to get to a sick woman, a friend of ours, way up in Canada. Was just ready to cross the border when I heard the news that my brother was dying. And returned back, and we drove for day in and out and night in and out within 10 days sitting in that car. So you can imagine how I'm feeling this morning. But I'm thankful to you all again for praying for my brother, because he looks like he's on his road to recovery again, God giving him another chance. And so I thank you, and I'm praising God for all things.
Amen.
Many big decisions yet to make. A worldwide tour coming up. Africa shining in the face.
And amen.
Places everywhere. I don't know which way to turn.
Praise the Lord.
Everywhere, everywhere. And there's about at least 10 or more great outstanding conferences setting right now, and each one calling to go to. I got to make some kind of decision next 24 hours for the next move. So pray for me.
Amen.
Pray for me. And I need your prayers. I hope shutting that fan off didn't bother you all here on the front too much for a minute. I've been exposed to so many things in my life of traveling for the Lord, and all kinds of conditions and diseases and leprosy. And I've hugged lepers and shut their hands and every kind of disease, and went into their isolation wards and camps and everything around the world. And I'm not a boy anymore. Nellie, I guess you know that. And I'm getting up towards age. And I hear Brother Bosworth the other day there, almost 90 years old. And when I was in Indianapolis, he had a blood clot running through his heart. He had death struggles, and he stood unconscious. Miss Bosworth called to have prayer for him. I went over there, and we announced it and started praying. Next day he called me up and said, I'd like to be in a meeting with you sometime. Then I feel like, if you're 47 years old, I'd be ashamed of myself. But I guess it's just the human part, I guess. But oh, how valuable it is, and how wonderful. Nothing like being saved.
Amen.
But being saved. That you don't realize, friend, I'm sure that the devil keeps that away from you as much as he can. He does for me, to realize what the value of a soul is. Did you ever just imagine what it is, and what eternity means, and how long you're going to be that way?
Amen.
You realize this is the time when you make your decision for eternity.
Amen.
Last Sunday with you here, I believe I preached on the assurance of how that God had promised and ordained you and called you before the foundation of the world and put your name in His book.
Yes. Amen.
You had nothing to do with it. God did it. Isn't that wonderful? The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And why? It never happened until 4,000 years later, but God, when He spoke it, He had to do it, because He has to keep His word. And at the same time that the Lamb was wrote down, you were wrote with Him.
Amen.
Our names were written in the Lamb's book of life, not the night we come to Christ, but before the foundation of the world. The Bible.
Amen.
So that's the assurance. And Brother touched on that this morning in this marvelous Sunday school reading. Now, let's just read for a scripture somewhere, just for a little... I want Just something that's on my heart. I'd just like to speak it for a few moments, and then we'll dismiss. And expect the services again tonight. And now, I got a message on my heart coming down the other day, and I want, if God willing, and if I'm back here next Sunday morning, to bring it to the tabernacle for the first.
Amen.
Just something that's on my heart of the time I went into a place to eat. And I thought, well, am I going crazy? What's the matter with me? I can't stand these music and all this your stuff that you have today. These silly women singing down out of an ivory palace or, and all this. I said, it must be something wrong with me. And the Holy Spirit said, oh, no. Oh, no. If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not even in you. So I thought, well, I don't want to get adjusted then to this world. That's me. And
Amen.
Then the Holy Spirit began to reveal this message to me. I wouldn't have time this morning. I'm too tired. Besides, maybe the Lord willing, next Sunday morning, if we're still around, I got some trips to make this week, but if I'm still around next Sunday morning, God willing, Brother Neville announced it on his broadcast on Saturday, and we'll be in trying to bring this message. I want you to try to
Amen.
Bring somewhere. It's a gospel message of the day, hour, and season.
Amen.
Which I had predicted 6 months ago that this was the closing year for America. And we'll see whether it is according to the gospel or not.
Amen.
This is the time when she's gone.
Amen.
She's either going up or down this year.
Amen.
Right. Now, you
Amen.
Young children, I want you to bring me a piece of paper and write it in a fly leaf of your Bible that when Brother Branham's done passing on, perhaps, you see whether it was right or wrong. And
Amen.
You know whether the Lord still speaks to
you.
Now, in Romans, the 4th chapter, I want to read just for a portion of words to continue on. What shall we say then that Abraham our father pertaining to the flesh has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has wrought the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Amen.
And may the Lord add his blessing to the word. Now the little subject, if they should call it so, that I wish to speak to you about, is divine love. And when divine love has been projected and comes to its destination, sovereign grace takes its place.
Amen.
See? Now, can you think of that? Ponder over so we get it real close now. See? When divine love is projected
Amen.
And comes to its destiny, then sovereign grace takes over.
Amen.
Now,
thank God for that.
It's a strange thing that how that people... the type of people and what we do in our association. Now, we all have to face these facts that there is people that you just love to be around. And there's people that's fine people and you love them, but yet there's something about the person that you just can't hardly stay around. Now, we want to talk of facts.
Amen.
Now, the reason that is because of the atmosphere that the individual himself or herself creates, because you are a miniature creator.
Amen.
Because you're sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
No matter how far you stooped in sin, you're still sons and daughters of God. Because you're fallen, degenerated in your soul and mind. But God is your creator. And in your fallen estate, you are lost, undone, creation of God, dominated by the devil. That's right. But still, you're sons and daughters of God. He's not willing that any of you should perish, but all might come to repentance.
Amen.
And he's done everything that lays possible for the only God himself to do this, to give the opportunities to the creatures of his to accept and to be what he wants you to be, back in your right estate again. And no person, now here it is, and it's pretty sharp, but no person is in their right mental status until they have accepted the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's a deep word, but that's the truth. No person is mentally right until they have accepted Christ Jesus as personal Savior.
Amen.
That sounds strange, but it's the Bible.
Amen.
Certainly. That is true. He is the one, and in your created being, now you'll be crazy to the world when you do that. Because you have to come out of the atmosphere you're in into this other atmosphere.
Amen.
When you do that, God lifts you right up from the world and you live in a heavenly atmosphere.
Amen.
See? And then to the world, you're just contrary to what that is. See? And this is contrary to the world.
Amen.
See, now what you want to do is be lifted up by Christ into an atmosphere to where you are happy,
amen,
peaceful, and then in there you create a situation. And now, many times, we in churches, this may seem strange, but if you just watch it, now this is for the church, it's for the people. The people get one another's spirit, and instead of getting the Holy Spirit, you go into a group of people and you watch the way that a person acts, and then find people that come into that congregation. The first thing you know, they act the same way. You take a good woman and a bad man, and he'll either become a good man or her a bad woman. And the atmosphere that you live in, you project to your associates,
amen,
what you are.
Hallelujah.
Then what type of people ought we to be if we're Christians?
Amen.
What type of atmosphere should we live in? In a consoling, soothing, healing atmosphere we should live in. With our hearts constantly in prayer, with a deep love for every person we come in contact with. Nothing. If I say this to the little churches, pray for me for the world mission, that's my success in praying for the sick. If I can't get right down into the feeling of the sickness with the person, it usually doesn't do any good. You've got to come right down till it's just, you feel it yourself. Here some time ago, an old Mexican man, down there on a platform. When he runs to the platform, much faith, he fell down, grabbed out his rosary. I told him, not necessary. And to the interpreter, Brother Pinoza, so he raised up, he put his arms around again, going some way. He was blind. I looked at him. I looked at him, old wrinkled up feet, probably never wore a pair of shoes in his life. I looked at my shoes, see if it fit him. I'd give him a shoe. He was blind. And I looked, he was a wider across his shoulders. Big man, weighed 200 and something, I guess. He couldn't wear him a coat. And as he was standing there in the gray hair, I thought of my daddy.
Amen.
I thought if daddy would have lived to be about this age, he'd have been about the same age man as this, around 65 or 70 years old. And I entered into a love of that man to a way that I thought maybe he never had a decent meal in his life. Maybe he never sat down at a table in his life. And all this, and then walking around in darkness. Then something come into my heart. God be merciful. He's a man. He's a brother. Then, when that strikes, there's something in our hearts.
Amen.
There's a creation moves around. And it's projected to this person. In a few moments, I heard him hollering something over my shoulder. And he was hollering, I can see, I can see.
Amen.
What was it? Divine love,
amen,
sympathy, had been projected by the Holy Spirit into this man. And by that, at the end of the road where nothing could be done, and love had taken its place, and love had met love, then sovereign grace went to work.
Amen.
And God, through sovereign grace, restored the sight to the man.
Hallelujah.
See, first you have to enter into that spot. That's what you have to do to a sinner. Many people pray for sinners. That's all right. But that's not the way to win a sinner. It's your business to win the sinner. You don't win him by praying for him. You win him by talking to him and introducing to him Christ. That's your business. That's your duty. It's to win sinners by talking to them and projecting to them The love of God through the Word of God that wins the sinner. Someone said, I'll never go to church. I sure like that woman. I like that fellow. See, because you're a winning man. If you stayed home and you prayed for the sinner and never went to contact him, there's very little can be done. But you've got to pray and then go. That's right. Go and do it. Now, the projecting of this love. Here a few days ago, I was listening to a testimony of a great plow manufacturer standing on the platform. Well, there sat businessman from around the world sitting on the platform, and this plowman, he got up, he said, well, I didn't know why I had to be operated on. And I love the man, and he's a great follower of Brother Robert, our friend. And so when I found out that I was getting sick and having stone trouble, kidney stone, I went to eat dinner with Brother Oral. And so Brother Oral got up and said, now, brother, I see that you're in distress. So he said, I'm going to pray for you. And he said, well, praise the Lord. I just want you to say that, Brother Oral. And said, Oral, come over and put his hands on his kidneys. And said, I rebuke this kidney stone and to leave this man immediately. And said, when he did it, said, I got relieved. And said, just a little while, he come back again. Said, I went again to Brother Oral. And said, he prayed again. I got relieved. But every time it come back, it comes worse. And he said that. The next thing I thought of, if I could go down, he said, to Brother Branham, and could stand before him, and the Holy Spirit would come to him, he would tell me then why that I didn't get healed when Brother Oral prayed for me. So he made his way out, and he comes to Louisiana. I was in services there. And I stood before him for 20 minutes. The Holy Spirit was mute, didn't say a thing. I prayed for him, and he said he felt better. And he come on down, and he went getting nervous, excited. He went from place to place. Everybody prayed for him, prayed for him. And he loved the Lord, but finally he got to a place that he was shipped him off to Mayo. Mayo looked him over and said, you got one chance out of 1,000 of living. Instead of an infection, your whole body's poison and uremic and oh, I forget what all. It says you got one chance out of 1,000. So he said, I took it. He said, I prayed, oh God, you know I love you. And I went to all your servants. And he took the chance and they put him to sleep. And said, when he woke up in the room, he said, there's a light shining in the room. And the glory of God was all around him. And the doctors were astonished.
Amen.
They come in and say, well, what's happened here? Why, he said, I feel like going home.
Amen.
What was it? See, he'd build his hopes up on, if anything ever happens to me, I'll go to Brother Robert. If that fails, I'll go to Brother Branham. And yet he loved the Lord Jesus. God had to let everything else fail to lay him there on his bed, even when the doctor said, we can't do nothing. And then when divine love had come to its end, all this grace stepped in and took its place.
Hallelujah.
He'll do it every time.
Thank God.
If your motives are right, your alternative is right. If you have divine love and believe, walk out of doubting nothing. When it comes to look like the end of the road has come, then Father's grace takes
its
place. How I have seen it work. How I've noticed it in my own life. And not by just a theology, or not by some kind of somebody else's experience. I'm so glad today that I can talk from a personal experience to know that that is the truth. Why do we fear then? As long as we know the love of Christ is resting divinely in our hearts, that we pass from death unto life, all demons out of hell have got a chance. Even the seraphs. If you'll continue
Amen.
In that love and faith,
yes.
It's just like a little baby.
Amen.
You take a little baby, I'll show you so the little fellows can
Hallelujah.
Get it. Here's Mrs. Kelly sitting here before us. When a drunken soldier, I believe it was, run into him out there, and she's picked up for dead here, they put her in the hospital unconscious. Well, everything had failed, and she was out of early. And yet with the love of God and her husband sent over, went in there that day, and then sovereign grace was protected. After divine love, and here she sits this morning among us that are today.
Hallelujah.
See, it's something that happens.
Amen.
When you get to the end of your road, When you get to where you can't move,
then
it's time God will move in by sovereign grace. The thing that you see, you take a little kid, a little baby, they have little cramps and spasms, and they'll scream and kick and holler, and the first thing you know, they'll hold their breath, and you'll see a mother grab it and tear it and throw it up in the air and throw it in his face. Let her alone! There's never been in our medical history one ever died like that. They won't die. He's just having a tantrum. He's trying to get sympathy. He's trying to get some humor in. And it's just a temper spell. And after he gets his temper spell to a place he's held his breath where he can't go no further, then nature steps in. And he relaxes and starts breathing again. All your picking up and screaming, just make, hollering and going in his face makes him worse. That's the way it is often. We travel from church to church, from pillar to post, from healing service to healing service.
Amen. Glory.
Brother!
Hallelujah.
Take breath and go forward. Into the road, God will project power and grace when you come into the road. When love has met its fill, God's obligated to him. When you come to your end and man's met their end, then grace takes over. It's God's nature to do so.
I've noticed that how that when I insert and excuse these personal testimony now for a minute. You read the book out there that day in Portland, Oregon, when that maniac under the platform is going to kill me. Oh, and he's read that perhaps in the book. What's taking place? God sent me to preach the gospel.
Amen.
That I was doing. Thousands of people were gathered, the streets were standing full, and 60 some odd hundred in the inside, and it poured down rain, and the people standing there, their hearts were longing, hungry.
That's where no one else was on the field. Temple was on the meeting.
And you'd have to pull you through crowds and everything else with police escorts to get you in.
I was into a room, and there led two little officers to Christ over in the dressing room.
Amen.
Two young boys on the police force in their early 20s. One of their mothers had been healed the night before, and they both bowed there, and I led them to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Walking out on the platform to speak faith, all of a sudden a maniac who had hit a preacher down the street that afternoon broke out of an institution, broke his collarbone, broke his jaw. He had a mania to kill preachers. He ran in and thought, this is my chance. Up to the platform he come, weighing about 250 or 260, nearly 6 foot 10 inches tall, swinging his hands back and forth.
He said, you hypocrite, you snake in the grass. There were
God's service in order. People being healed. Thousands being saved and blessed. Ministers inspired. This great revival just in its beginning then to start bringing forth across the world. Setting up there, said T.L. Osborne.
Amen.
Amen. Who has won tens of thousands of saved to Christ. Sitting there, a pastor of a church with 8 or 10 in his congregation, watching down out of the balcony. And that maniac run to the platform to disturb the meeting of the Lord. And he said, you snake in the grass, you hypocrite, imposing yourself as a servant of God, I'll show you that you're no servant of God, and I'll break every bone of your measly little body. And he run up there and pulled back his big fist to hit me.
I turned around, preacher scattered, everything stood, and he coughed and spit in my face.
He said, you snake in the grass, I'll show you how much servant of God you are, you deceiver. I never said one word. I just looked up at him. And all at once, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Something in order. What would you think if a man spit in your face? Why is there any temper about his wrath? Sure it would. And here come two cops out. But them two cops that railhead with the things in their hands to beat the man down, to take him out. But I couldn't let him do it. God had brought love in my heart for that mortal being. I thought, it's not the man. It's the devil that's got him in that condition. That man will be a normal man. He wants to love and live like other man does. But it's the devil that's got him like that.
Amen.
And a love began to swirl out to that man. And the first thing you know, that man dropped and fell across my feet there when divine love had been projected. Sovereign grace stepped in and took his place. It'll do it every time.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Here not long ago, when I might have told you this before, last year, year before last it is now, I was mowing my yard up there trying to get my yard mowed down, round, round. And I had to stop and change clothes and pray for somebody to come out. Well, my yard is grown up. Before I, in the back, before I get the front mowed, is grown up.
And so one day I was back in the back with an old mowing machine, a mowing along, trying to get a little power mower. And I forgot that there was a nest of hornets in the corner there. And I rammed that mower into that, and at the back yard, I had my shirt off, no shirt on. I hit that fence with that mowing machine and with no shirt on. And a moment's time, I was covered all over with hornets. You know what they are, a big nest of hornets, they kill you. Great big colors just a buzzing. Oh, I thought first it scared me. Then all of a sudden, something began to happen.
Amen.
They got it quieting down. Them hornets still buzzing around.
Hallelujah.
Now, this sounds like a kid, this sounds like juvenile. The God of heaven knows whether it's truth or not, of whom I stand. Then it's pitiful trying to fight and beat and smack them hornets. There was some kind of a godly love come up over me, and I thought, poor little fellows, you got a right to be with us.
Hey.
That's the way God made for you to protect yourself. And I disturbed you. And I'm sorry that I did it. If I had it to do over again, I wouldn't disturb you. I didn't mean to do it, but I said, I'm the servant of the Lord. And his six children shared me faithful, and I got to hurry to mow this yard. Now, you little creatures of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, go back to your nest. I'm not bothering you. And what was it? It was at a place where I could have been stung to death. In the love of God, the submitted heart, the projecting of love came forth, and sovereign grace taken over. What could tell those hornets?
Hallelujah.
Beast and arrows and every hornet tucky is charcoal in a fire and lined up like a military bunch of soldiers in a
car.
I couldn't speak to the hornets. I had no way of speaking to them. How could I keep them from stinging me? I was at the end. I have love. God gave love to those hornets, and I spoke to them in my breath, and the Holy Spirit and sovereign grace guided those hornets right back into their nest. I tore down the old Guernseys out of Henryville one day. This big old bull out here killed this colored man. That Bert's farm out here. Killed the colored man, almost killed that West boy the same way they sold him out on the farm. I didn't know I was patrolling, supposed to pack a gun. I didn't have it. One day crossing, I thought I was going to go over there and pray for some sick person. I went across that field not thinking about that bull being in that field. And I got way out in the middle of the field. What happened? First thing you know, up out of a little clump of bushes, this big spotted fellow stood, long horns like that, and he let out a roar. I knew that was that killer. I looked back, I was too far from the fence, about 200 yards, he wasn't standing 30, 40 feet from me. There he stood, threw his horns down, let out a great big bow. I didn't have no gun, a little tree to get into. I couldn't go back to the fence. I thought, well, this is the end. Bill Branham, here's where you meet your doom, to be mauled to death, gored to death out here in the field. I stood there, but all of a sudden, something came into my heart. I thought, I disturbed that poor animal. Yeah. It's not that poor animal. It's the devil that makes it do it. And I would only know one thing. Here he is, I want you to hear it. There's only one thing that will conquer the devil. That's pure divine love. Love will conquer everything.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
God so loved the world.
Hallelujah.
It conquered the sin question. It conquered the sickness question. It will conquer the difference in the church. It will conquer everything that is unrighteous. To be conquered, it'll do it if you'll just let it do it.
Hallelujah.
And when this great animal started towards me, and instead of hating that animal, Brother Mike, I love him. And I thought, you are God's creature. Who else could make you but God? And you are laying there peacefully, and I come on your territory with signs up all over the field. I never thought of it. I just cut off my regular territory to go over and pray for a sick man. And there I seen that fellow coming, his head just a swirling like that, and he was making for me to kill me. And I knew it. But divine love began to come out of a poor creature. A dumb brute. Don't know no better. There you lay. And I disturbed you. So now I am God's servant. You are God's creature. In the name of Jesus Christ, go back and lay down. For I am on my road to pray for one of God's sick children. Go back and lay down. And that bull come to me just as hard as he could. No fear, I was a bit more afraid now I would be a Brother Neville sitting right here. Just a pure, holy love in my heart. What did it do? It created an atmosphere.
Amen.
And that bull run right into that atmosphere, not over 10 feet from me. He stopped and threw his feet out. He looked right and left, so defeated, with the most meekest look on his face, and turned around and walked over and laid down like passing the doctor.
Hallelujah.
When divine love is projected, sovereign grace takes over the earth. As the same God that could stop the lions from coming to Daniel, when they come with a roaring old Daniel standing there wrapped in the love of God, the lions went over and lay down. It was peaceful. I tell you, my brother, when God can wrap you in divine love,
oh, hallelujah.
There's peace in the valley for you then. There is. Here, some time ago, I was coming up from over in Dallas, Texas. I was flying by plane, coming home. We had a meeting over there. And all my Lord got into a storm. And the plane was forced down at Memphis. And while I was in Memphis, they put me up over there at the Peabody Hotel. Old, great, swanky place. I kind of felt so out of place. I was up there that night, stayed all night. They called me the next morning and said, "Liver Dam?" "Yes," said the limousine. "Will pick you up now at exactly 7 o'clock. The plane will leave at 7:30. I said, "Thank you, sir." Hung up. I got up, prayed, and I thought, "Well, I got time maybe to run to a post office box. Got some mail here answered last night." I got up, started down the street. Going down the street saying, "There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all on flame.
Hey.
With the fire that fell on Pentecost that cleansed and made them clean.
Hey,
oh, now within my heart, oh glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them."
Hey,
going down the street with a bunch of letters in my hand, going towards the post office, I felt something strange. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Just like everything is settled down.
Amen.
Oh, what a feeling. Oh, my, isn't this wonderful? Doc used to sing a little song, "Let me walk with a heavenly dove, fill my way each day with love." I used to think of that. And this love began to pour down. Extra. We got love, but we need the abundance of love.
Amen.
The overflowing of love.
Amen.
You say, "Well, I love sinners." But, oh, brother, sister, do you love them well enough to go out and talk to them and woo them to Christ? See what I mean? You say, "I love the Lord." But can you trust him when the doctor shakes his head? Can you trust him when everything else is gone? You need an overflowing baptism of love.
Amen.
Divine love. When it seems like when you pray and your prayer is not answered, do you still love him? Is there something that keeps purging you on? That God's sovereign grace has to take over.
Amen.
It's got to. It's God's nature. God can't do nothing else but do that.
Thank you.
When God's seen the sin of this world and seen that man was dying without hope and could not be saved, and yet he knows that man would love him, it strained God.
Yes.
And it proved his nature.
Amen.
God's nature is love. God is love. And it strained God's nature until he had to provide a way of escape for those who wanted to escape.
Amen.
And he sent his son into the world, made him the righteous of sinful flesh, to bear our sins and sickness to Calvary.
Amen.
God did it. The love of God going out called for sovereign grace.
Amen.
And God never said, "If you do it, if you do this, I'll do this." God, without any conditions, he sent his son to die in your place and
save
you.
Amen. Amen.
Had nothing to do with what you think about it. God did it anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. Divine love, such a strange sovereign grace has to take its place. That's all there is.
When divine love is stepped at the right place.
Hallelujah.
Listen closely. That morning when I got out of the plane, got out of the hotel, started walking down the street. I was going along singing. All at once, something seemed to pour down on me. A great shower of love. I thought, oh, if I could just only
Oh, I believe it the way I feel if I could just see somebody to pray for. That's what you feel. When there's something in your heart pouring. The other day, may I stop just a moment again. The other day, little Sarah got sick. When we started off, it was so hot, and I've been up every night getting about 2 hours sleep. Delegates from all over the different parts of the world had to meet this and that and praying, preaching 3 times a day. Oh, Lord, I was just going, and then I got out and I had to lay. And there was a few miles I was sitting, I was so sleepy, even early in the morning, so I had to lay down on the side of the road and sleep. A little few minutes, got up and started again. I just couldn't hold my eyes open, trying to climb home to get to this woman across the hot, burning desert of Nebraska. Going through there, and I thought, oh, my little Sarah, just a heaving and a gagging poor little thing has been sick all night. Next morning, she was so sick, we just had to stop the car, and she just whitened her face. And I was so tired and bored. I thought, oh, God, oh, the situation, terrible God. Look here, I can't drive. I'm so tired now. I've been out here with your people trying to do the best I could. And little Sarah was so sick. Well, we went, and I went over there and put my hands on her. I said, dear Heavenly Father, you give me this child. This is yours.
Amen.
I laid my hands up on her. Something began to move down in my heart.
Amen.
That ended the vomiting.
She never vomited once more from that day to this. The second day, Becky started real sick like a virus and vomited. Little thing vomited all night. Next day, Meadie said, we'll get some Pepto-Bismol. Pulled out a couple of spoons to give it to her. Little thing just vomited right up. We got into the Tetons when we hit out of the hot country starting up. She wanted to see the beautiful mountains. She couldn't do it. She was so sick. I said, honey, look, y'all take that. I'm going to take your picture so you can see the mountain there. She said, oh, Daddy, I just feel like I'm dying. And so we give her another Pepto-Bismol. We'd offer prayer that morning, said, Lord, have mercy. And oh, that didn't do no good. So we got up there, and I got her out. I said, honey, get out in the fresh air. It's cold. She had a little jacket on. Snow laying around on the ground. So I got out, and she's trying to. She said, yes, Daddy. So, and the water just come out of her little mouth. I looked at her eyes, sitting back. And her mouth just as wide around as it could be. I walked around and looked up towards the mountain. I said, I'm looking through the hills and what's coming to my help?
Amen.
My help coming from the Lord. So once something began to purge down in me.
Amen.
Oh, I wish I could have it all the time. I walked over there to the side of the car. What did you say? I said, look at you, Daddy, honey. Oh, my, that shame of vomiting forever.
Amen.
I was in some hands running around playing with Sarah. What is it? When divine love is projected, finally grace takes its place. It has to. Down the street that morning, walking in Memphis, back to Missouri, walking down the street in Memphis, a saying to the Lord, and all at once something said, stop. And I stopped. All at once it said, turn and go back the other way. Well, that was towards the river. I thought, oh my. I walked to the floor, I thought, well, you're impressed, you know, a lot of times people make mistakes with our impressions instead of divine leading. So I started on, I thought that was just, I felt, oh, boy, I got the worst of God. I stepped up in a little side place, looked around, just some fishing things laying there. I thought it would act like people passed by to look at these fishing things. When I got everybody kind of left the walk, that group from where the light turned, I said, kind Heavenly Father, what were you wanting me to do? Was that you that was moving on my heart? I just feel like I'm bursting on the inside. Just something pouring out. Something said, turn and go back. I said, where to? Said, turn and go back. Don't make a difference where to. Just keep on going.
Amen.
I turned and started walking back down the street. I walked. I looked at my watch. It's still urging me. It's past time. Went a little farther past time. 7:30 left. At 8 o'clock. Oh, my, my, my. I dug up way back down where it's just kind of like colored houses. A lot of little colored houses down there, way down. And I was walking along there, the sun's way up high then, early spring, clouds all gone. I thought, well, I missed my plane, but I thought, oh, God, it's all right if I miss the plane, just as long as you, where you lead me to, Lord? I don't know where you're taking me. Where am I going? None of my business. Just keep on walking. I just walked on. After a while, I looked hanging out over the gate, like this. That was a typical old Aunt Jemima, hanging across the gate, your big fat cheek. She had a man's shirt wrapped around her head like this and tied in the back. I was walking on when I got to her, tears running down her big fat cheeks like that. She looked over at me and said, good morning, parson. And I said, ma'am, I said, good morning. She kind of grinned and looked at me, tears in her eyes. I thought she called me parson. That's what they call a preacher in the South, you know. And I said, how'd you know I was a parson? She said, I know you're coming. What? I said, I know you's coming.
Glory.
I said, I don't understand, Andy. Would you tell me? She says,
You know, did you ever read that story about the Shunammite woman who didn't have any children, and she asked the Lord to give her a child? He said, and Elisha come and blessed her, and she got a child? I said, yes, ma'am, I remember that. She said, I was that kind of woman. Said, I didn't have any children. And I prayed to the Lord, and I told the Lord, if he would bless me and give me a child, then I would raise it for him. He said, he gave me a child. And said, I washed over the washboard, below, haunt that one side. Said, I washed over the washboard to raise this child. And she said, when he got big, Parson, he's taken the wrong road. And he said, he got out with the wrong company. And he's laying in here dying. And said, the doctor man was here day before yesterday when he went unconscious. And said he could never do no more for him. They gave him 6 off 6 silver sand and everything else, mercury and penicillin, nothing, venereal, syphilis, gonna eat the bowels out of his heart. And said, there's nothing that can be done for him. And said, he was laying in here dying. And said, oh, Lord, I wouldn't want to see my baby die like that. And said, if I could just hear him say that he was saved. And said, I prayed and I prayed for 2 nights. Said, this morning about 3 o'clock, said, the Lord put me to sleep, kneeling on my knees. But I dreamed a dream that I saw a man come with a light suit on, wearing a little half-western hat set on the side of his head. I said, Lord, I was the woman before Elijah. Amen. But here it comes. So I got right up out of that bed, and I've been standing right here ever since waiting for you. That's the way I dress.
Exactly.
Oh, brother, when divine love is projected, that mother with her baby, yeah, 180 pounds, but it's still her baby. Laying dying in disgrace, no matter how disgraceful he was, it was her baby. She loved him. That's a mother's love. No matter how much disgrace he brought, she still loved him.
Amen.
And if you can't forget your baby, no matter what, then how much more can God not forget you? He said, your names are engraved on the palms of my hands. A mother may forget her suckling babe, but never will I forget you. No matter what you've done, how far back you've gone, how much you've got into, God still loves you. God loves you. Keep the blood moving on. Don't let
her
see you.
There she said, hey, I just couldn't do it. And she said, Parson, I dreamed a dream and I saw you coming.
Hey.
And said, when I looked down the street and I saw that little white suit, that little hat that was by your head, that the spirit said to me, there he is.
Hey.
She said, won't you come in? I thought, oh, God.
I thought maybe this is where you led me to. This is where you're not supposed to come. I didn't know. I opened up the gate and it had a chain and a plow horn on it. I don't know if you ever seen one or not. I opened up the little old door and went in. Brother, I've been in king's palaces. I've been in the richest homes there is in the world. I've been in some of the mounted millionaires worth $28 million. I've walked on their rugs when it was chenille from one side to the other, where I could lay down and sleep easy on their doormat with a lovely home. But there was not even a lamb on the floor and a little old poster arm bed setting at it. Oh, you're in a little blanket pulled up over this boy, and a sign on the door, God bless our home. I know that I was in the presence of a Christian home.
Hey.
I know that I was somewhere where prayer was made. Not no stamps on the wall, not no vulgar pictures, but the Bible ain't open on the little marble top table in there.
The big boy laying there in the bed,
covers in his hand, goes, I said, oh, my belly's feet, it was sticky and cold. Death was on the boy.
Hallelujah.
And he kept saying, oh, it's so dark. It's so dark. And I said, what's he talking about? She said, Parson, said him been thinking for a lot of the many days now that he's out on the big sea, Law. Said he don't know where he's going. And said, I was hurting my heart. Said he's going away, and he's lost out on the sea. And he don't know where he's going, said Parson. I've prayed. I've done everything. I've done everything. I don't want any lost parties. And so that's why I was praying. I said, Auntie, what's wrong with the boy? She said, it's a venereal disease. The doctor man said he's dying and nothing more can be done. He said he's unconscious. He's been lost on the sea for 2 days. She said, will you pray for him? I said, Auntie, my name is Branham. Did you ever hear me? She said, no, sir, I don't believe I ever did, Parson. I said, well, I'm going to tell you a story. I said, my ministry's praying for the sick. She said, it is. I said, yes. And I said, told her about the plane coming down and everything. She said, is that the truth, Parson? She said, well, I know he wouldn't let me down. I said, you offer prayer, Amy? And she got down there and you talk about a prayer. Oh, brother, how that old saint could get a hold of God. And there she prayed till the tears rolled out of her eyes. I looked up and he kept going, I said, now, Andy, I'll pray. You know what's wrong with me? I put my hand over on his seat.
I said, Heavenly Father, my plane's done gone as far as I know. And here this poor old mother was crying for her baby. And as far as I know, this is where you led me to. I pray that you'll be merciful to me just about that time. I said, Mammy. Oh, Mammy. She raised up and wiped the tears out of her eyes. She said, yes, honey. Mommy's baby's feeling better. Began to pat him on the head. He said, Mama, it's getting light in the room.
Hey.
Getting light in the room. Power, love, divine love had been projected to the heart of God. Power and grace had answered its way.
Hallelujah.
I think of the poor mother there holding on with her prayer to God and all this. And then what happened? God, to His grace, God in His mercy would bring an airplane out of the sky.
Amen.
And hold it on the ground.
Amen.
To answer the prayer of that poor ignorant colored woman. When divine love was projected, no matter how poor she was, how black she was, how yellow she was, there she was. When divine grace is projected,
hallelujah.
Divine grace has to take its place. That love of that old mother there, how she cried. And the boy, about 2 years after that, I went down and saw the train going down. I got off and went up there to get me a hamburger. They wanted about 70 or 80 cents for it on the plane and on the train, and I could buy it for about 20 cents in the little stand. I got off the train, started down. This red cap said, hello, Parson Branham. I looked around and I said, good morning, son. Walter said, don't you know me? I said, no, I don't believe I do. Said, you remember about 2 years ago when you come down and prayed for me and my mammy? I said, are you there? I said, yes, I'm Parson Branham. Said, I'm not only healed, but I'm saved now. I'm a Christian. Power and grace. Yes, sir, brother. I'm telling you, when grace, when God sees love projected, grace has to take its place. A few weeks ago at my house, you remember, many of you well, when that old possum laying across there, and this young girl down here had drowned her baby, and when God gave her a baby and she didn't want to raise it, she wrapped it in a blanket and threw it out there and drowned it in the river. I said, that is a mother that's lower than a dog. An animal will do it. And if the sovereign love of God will can be projected to an animal, how much more can it be projected to a man?
Amen.
Or a woman. That's right. This old mother popping, making her way up that lane, you know the story. And how she come in and laid there at my steps for 24 hours. Me not even knowing nothing about it. Brother Woods and them sitting back there, and Sister Woods with mercy for the thing, said, Brother Branham, why do you let it suffer and a poor little baby popping's drinking that old milk from her laying there dead? So why don't you kill him, Brother Branham, or destroy the old mother? She wasn't quite dead. She, you can punch her and she can get a move out of her. And there, she lay there all night. And the next day, little old Becky there, she come out. She said, Daddy, well, next morning about daylight, she said, what are you going to do with that possum, Daddy? She said, I've just been thinking about it all night. I said, so have I, Becky. I went out in the room. I said, go on back, go to bed, honey. She said, you get up. I said, I'm there in my den room. And I thought, well, you know, I'm up there. I thought I had to do something with old possum. I don't know what to do. Then I heard a voice. In so much that I wasn't even expecting it. Right there, them apples come down that morning for Brother Hall. One of the tea with cancer. There were the sick and the sick that's been healed. I was sitting in the little dinner room. I heard a boy say, I sent her to you. She's laid like a lady for 24 hours for her time to be prayed for. And you've never said a word to me about it. I said, well, I didn't even know it. I said, well, you mean you sent that possum? I said, what's the matter with you? Am I talking to myself? I caught myself talking back to him. I walked out there with Becky, was still looking to the door. I walked over to old possum there, do all over and everything else. I said, Heavenly Father, if you set that poor, ignorant possum, if you set her here, somehow I'll put in my heart of love for her, being a mother that I couldn't kill her. Couldn't kill her baby. And solid grace to teach the rest of the people that they ought to know. Have brought her here, then God, I pray in Christ's name. That she'll heal her. And that old possum with her leg bowed full of maggots and so dragged it behind her, swelled twice its size, stood up on that leg and picked up those babies in her pocket, walked down through there just as normal as any beast you ever seen walk. To the lady as if to turn around and say, thank you, kind sir. And as far as I know, they're happy with their babies today. Why? When divine love is projected, power and grace takes its place. My brother, sister, you've only got one thing to do in your life. That's love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind,
and believe every word he said is the truth. And when you come to the end of your road where you can't go any farther, then divine, sovereign grace will be protected.
Amen.
How could I talk here, laying there, when my old brothers would give me up, sitting on the side of the porch, or Brother Cox sitting by me, wonder what happened. I couldn't even stand it any longer. Was the